Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am, as always, Jason Ophir, joined here tonight by psychic medium Sherry. Sherry, how's it going? How was your holiday?
Pretty good. I ate too much. What about you? I did not like a pig.
Did you have the turkey?
No, I don't like turkey. So we end up having prime rib.
Ooh, you can't go wrong with the prime rib.
Oh, yeah. Love this stuff. That's one of my favorite steaks is prime rib.
Did you have it with garlic mashed potatoes or anything spectacular?
No. We end up having it with Costco chicken Alfredo and their macaroni and cheese for a change.
Ooh, sounds delicious. I actually did a crock pot. I did not have turkey either. I threw some meat and some sausages, potatoes and carrots in a crock pot. So that was my Thanksgiving dinner.
Ooh, that sounds good. Wow. Yeah, it's better than turkey. I'm not a dark meat kind of person, so I like it. I like it, kind of untraditional. You get tired of it, the same old, because I eat chicken anyway when on a bodybuilding diet, so it's kind of like, turkey, man, no thank you. I don't think so.
You know what I love is green bean casserole with the little crunchy
really?
Little onion things on top. Yeah, I love green bean casserole. I could probably eat that every day.
Oh, wow. Did your mom make it when you were little or anything like that?
I believe so, if I remember correctly. But when I was married, it was I just love me a good green bean casserole.
Oh, wow. Good for you. No, I didn't have that growing up, green bean casserole. Not at all. How was your week, Jason?
Not too bad. I haven't been at work in 4 days, so as we are transitioning into Monday, I'm starting to get that pre-work anxiety because it's just stressful.
Really?
Working in a hospital.
Seriously, is it a lot of people getting the flus and everything?
Not seeing a lot of flus. I've only seen a couple, but I'm sure that will change. The flus that I have seen come positive are influenza B, which don't ask me what the difference between A and B is. I think they're pretty close to equal in severity, but I think that's just a particular set of strains. So influenza B so far, but other than that, just, a lot of sick people.
Yeah, well, my grandson, he's Albany School District in Albany, Oregon. The whole school, the elementary, I think that there's two elementary schools or one, at least two schools are being shut down because they have the norovirus. Is that influenza B? Is that what it is, or that's a different strain?
No, norovirus is something else. I'm not an expert on all the viruses, but it's totally different than influenza. Apparently that one can be bad too. I think that's what they catch on the cruise ships a lot is norovirus.
Yeah, it can be passed from person to person. It could be airborne, especially when you don't wash your hands. And just the droplets, flushing toilets that can go into and all you do is wipe your nose or, put anything in the orifices and you got it. Sometimes it could be just airborne too.
Anything in the orifices. I love it. Well, you got us a great guest this evening.
Yes, we have. He's a returning guest. Love to have him. He's a wonderful friend, beautiful soul. I can't think highly enough of him. I have a lot of respect for this gentleman. He's been through hell and back, and we're going to talk about many things in his culture, and I had to think of some kind of title, and this tonight is going to be called Modern Day Shamanism. We're going to cover that, the truth behind the facade. And he is an author. He's an indigenous, I believe he's First Nations. He can reiterate. He has just a new book released. It's called Daily Meditations. And he has a wealth of knowledge, but also he's also humble at the same time. And every time I talk to him, it's just a good, warm, fuzzy feeling and learn a lot from him. And, you know, it's a matter of sharing and growing. It's not a matter of who's better or anything like that. We're all here to learn and grow and be united in the forefront and just improving ourselves, but also seeing behind the things that are supposedly what's colored, that the reality, which is, you know, can be quite different. So we're going to put Wayne on. His name is Wayne Snellgrove. And like I said, he's very well renowned in his own right. And we're going to have him on the show for an hour, hour and a half. We'll see how it goes.
Very cool. And I will be dipping out at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, the show might go a little bit longer. And that'll be all you. So without further ado, we'll bring Wayne on right now. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me.
You're
pleasure.
Very welcome. And yes, we are. There's a lot of people listening to you. I try to blast as much as I can on Facebook. And, you know, when we advertise, we're still on Spotify, we're still on iHeart. You know, there's a lot of people listening even currently, or they can always go back and go through the archives tomorrow and later on tonight and go listen to you. So, yeah, we're giving a lot of exposure and helping making it a win-win situation.
I love it. I love it. So,
Ashley, you want to introduce yourself, Wayne, for people who don't know who you are.
Oh, my name is Wayne Williams. Excuse me. My name is Wayne Williams Snellgrove, Soto Tribe, Fishing Lake First Nation, Saskatchewan, Canada. Just a brief little history. I am a modern-day genocide survivor of the Canadian 60s scoop, where they literally stole me from my mom and from the hospital where I was born, the day I was born. And I ended up, about 800 miles from my mom in an orphanage about 800 miles away the day of my birth. And it's beginning of my spiritual journey began early. So that's kind of where it all began.
Was that kind of an organized thing? Do they just, like, who abducts people, like, what's the story behind that? I'm curious.
It was a policy of assimilation. It was law, actually. It was legalized, to assimilate the indigenous problem, the red problem, which really just dates back to Columbus, where they just, you know, really don't like Indians. And they said, well, you know, you're not like us, and we don't want to be, you know, associated with you. So the best thing, solution we can offer is for you to assimilate like us, act the way we want you to act. So there was it started in the 50s, went on to the 60s. It was coined the 60s group, but it really started in the 50s, went on into the 60s, 70s, and up through the mid 80s. So there was thousands of children taken.
Wow. That's incredible. Never heard of that.
Yeah.
And that's in modern times. This isn't like back in the 18 to 1700s. We're talking the 50s and
no.
60s.
No. Huh. This was right during the middle of the residential schools where they they sent children and my family included, my entire family, to residential schools run by the church. So they cut their hair and they wash their mouth out if they spoke their own language or if they did anything indigenous as far as culturally, spiritually, they beat them or worse, you know, murdered them. So it was really a brutal time to be a brutal oppression for the particularly the First Nations. That's where I'm from. We think Canada as this benign neighbor to the north, but it's really not. It really has its seeds in genocide.
I thought Canada was like, you know, like one of the greatest places on the planet without much of a nefarious history, but apparently I'm wrong.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. You know, I married, my first wife was a Canadian, and she had no idea. She had no idea. And most Canadians have no idea. There's, you know, there's a certain percentage of the population that does, but it's very small.
Interesting.
So
I'm going to have to Google that.
They have their own corruption, Wayne, so that people don't even know. You think, oh, yeah, people want to go to Canada because it's a place to go, you know. But there's, like you said, there's the other side of everything.
Yeah, you know, when we come to, you know, the indigenous First Nation cultures, you know, we've always been seen as secondary citizens. You know, we got our voting rights, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. You know, it's just, you know, we had to have permission to leave the reservation or the reserve and all that up until about 20 or 30 years ago. So it's really just been a really traumatic time for the First Nations and the Indigenous in Canada. And so that's kind of where my story begins, right there.
Wow. That's crazy.
So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, modern-day shamanism. What is shamanism exactly? Like, how is that defined?
Well, I really wouldn't name it anything, especially not shamanism. You know, that's kind of like a Western name to something that the medicine men and women in Siberia used. I carry a certain kind of medicine, and that's really about what I call it. If you call me a medicine man, I that's, you know, that's okay. You know, I'll most likely never call myself a medicine man. I'll say that I work with some, you know, with some medicine, you know, and medicine is simply anything that heals, our healing properties. You know, the Western culture thinks of it as medicine as, you know, like you go to a hospital or a doctor and they prescribe you something, but that's really not the indigenous definition. Would be more of a healing. Well, it could be a physical healing, a spiritual healing, an emotional healing, mental healing. You know, we can use herbs or ceremony or prayer or any or all of the above to help, you know, whatever's going on with you. So I've been walking this road for about 30 years, probably actually like 27. I started back in the early 90s when I met my elder, Tony Stonehawk. He was at a conference like a healing conference in Fort Lauderdale or Hollywood, Florida, and that's where I met him, and that's where I really kind of started my journey, because I'd gone through the Buddhist thing, I'd gone through the Christian thing, and I, you know, just one of those people that were just searching, you know, because everything that could be taken away from me was taken away from me, and it was taken away from me from, again, the day of my birth. So it's really when I said my spiritual journey started, it really started the day of my birth. And so it really just kind of really blossomed when I met my elder, and just started walking what we call the red road, our indigenous spiritual path we call the red road. And so
what do you mean by an elder? For those who don't know what that means, Wayne, what is an elder? Is it a teacher? Is it considered a family member? What is exactly an elder for somebody who doesn't know that?
Yeah, an indigenous elder is someone who carries a certain, for me it's a little different. It's someone for me who really carries a really special medicine. For me, it was very loving and nurturing and open. Something that I really needed at that time, it was just, because I needed a lot of nurturing, because, I come from a heavy place of trauma, violence, drug abuse. And so when I met this gentleman, Tony Stonehawk, he encompassed all of that. Now, every elder has, particularly with indigenous, and I'm primarily talking about indigenous elders, they all carry a certain kind of medicine, and some is good, some is bad, some elders just haven't healed, and that's the medicine that they carry. What I'm talking about is the elder that helps guide, that helps lead. My elder ran indigenous ceremonies, the sweat lodge. That was his medicine that was given to him, and he gave that medicine to me. So I began with him, and he was very loving and gentle, very, I would say, grandfatherly. Like, you ever just walk in a room and like there's an elder there, a grandfather, and you just feel, you get those warm fuzzies,
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, he was there, and like I was in the middle of my stuff, and I'm not sure I was drinking or anything like that, but I was in the middle of just kind of recovering, and I didn't really know from what, But, when I walked in that room, I said, this guy's got something going on, man. This guy's got something special, He told me everything was going to be all right, and for some reason, I believed him, and even when things weren't quite all right, he would just gently say to me, you're a son to me, and I know everything's going to be all right. And so that's kind of the way my elder story goes, and I've met so many along the way, so many beautiful elders that helped guided me and showed me a better way. Show me a more healthier way. This is not really about right or wrong, good or bad. This is just getting, we're all trying to get to that place of being healthy and being focused and learning to love and love our stories and love gratitude and all that. And, when I met Tony, I just didn't have that, I just didn't have that. I had, generational trauma. I had all this stuff going on, and most of it, I didn't even realize I was going through. You can't really heal until you know what you're going through.
Wow. So we all have generational trauma, don't you think, Wayne?
Sure. Yeah. This is not just this is not like an indigenous thing. This is like, the more recent, obviously, the past would be, particularly with Turtle Island, which is what we call North America, when we call the invasion, when the Europeans started coming over here, the Spanish, the conquistadors, and then, the Pilgrims, and then, and then we all know, Columbus, we all know what he brought, and so they brought a certain kind of disease over here, disease of greed and greed of more and the greed of, we're all trying to, recover from that. And for all of us, that looks a little different, you know, it looks a little different. So,
mm-hmm.
so.
Can you define generational trauma for the people that aren't listening? So that's basically where you're trying to heal wounds from generations back, right? That kind of carry over.
Sure. Yeah, sure. We all kind of carry, you know, the indigenous idea is and it's passed down from our elders and you know, I've sat with it and it's, you know, we take on the unhealed trauma from those that have come before us. And it's literally, we know as indigenous that is passed down through generation to generation, hence generation trauma. Now, certain kind of, you know, violence and, you know, sexual abuse and a lot of those things that, you know, we don't like to talk about around the dinner table. Those are the things that the individual has to deal with now. So whether we understand it, like it or not, there's always some level of trauma that, you know, my ancestors went through as far as maybe rape or murder or even the residential school through, you know, the most recent generations where they were beaten, you know, murdered, raped, those unhealed wounds from my grandmother and my mother and my sisters, and, you know, they're all passed down through the next generation. And there's that next generation right now, well, back then was me. And so our spiritual plate is full, you know, as far as trying to get to the root and the bottom of that healing, you know, kind of, let me touch on something else too. You know, this is not all bad. You know, we talk about generational trauma, but there's also what's passed down is through the generation is courage, love, wisdom, you know, all these beautiful attributes that help us along the way. So it's not like a real, it's a dark curse, but there's also light with that. So it's not just, you know, we're not just dealing with, you know, the dark side. There's a lot of beautiful things that have been given to me by my elders to help and generations before that helped me guide, like that wisdom that God helped me through what they've been through and what I've been through. So it's not all bad.
Doesn't sound very fair to have to deal with drama that's 500 years old, you know. But like you said,
yeah,
good things as well.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's energetically it's there. You can't deny it, you know. And, you know, I get the remarkable opportunity to help break that, you know, help break the cycle. And so the future generation, so when we heal, so the upside is when I heal myself, when I go through that healing, when I go through the darkness, when I sit with it, when I heal it, when I deal with it, when I face it, when I go through it, you know, the next generations behind me, they don't have to deal with that. You know, they get to go through life through what life brings them, you know, and you know, without any kind of deep, dark, you know, generational trauma, you know. And I just want to be here for the people that still have some work to do. You know, that's, you know, to help me, I get to help others. And those others get to help me. So it's really a beautiful thing. You know, when you really get down to it, I get the opportunity to help people. My prayer every day is, Creator, I will go wherever you want me to go, and I will do whatever you want me to do. And basically I'm saying to Creator, I'm available to help who you need me to help. You know?
That's nice.
And that's beautiful and that's powerful. And you know, I don't have to tell Creator what talents I have, what talents I don't have. You know, Creator already knows, Spirit already knows. And so, you know, He sends those people to me. They find me. They look for me. And I get to sit with them, And, you know, we get to do this together. You know, this is healing is a we thing. You know, illness is an I thing, and you know, healing is a we thing. Like, wellness is a we, illness is an I. You know, we get to do this together. You know, we get to build together. You know, we can't, you know, there's nowhere else to heal but to do this together. So.
And do you see a drastic change when you're helping people with this healing? Do they, like, come back to you and say, oh, my God, all these things have improved? Or do you have, like, good stories about that?
Well, you know, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes healing, you know, that healing looks like a burning bush or a flash of light, you know. And, you know, that's okay. You know, I don't take any credit for it, because, you know, we have this thing called the hollow bones. And it's pretty much the definition of it is the spirit that's out there, the divine spirit, the love spirit is out there. And I'm pretty much allowing myself that spirit of love to flow through me. So it's really not coming from me. I can never consciously say that I'm doing the healing. When I'm doing the healing, that doesn't go well. But you know, when I say, you know, the great spirit, the great mystery, the great divine, the great feminine, the great, you know, creator, when that flows through me, then that's really what creates that healing. And, you know, that looks different for, you know, everyone, you know. But the beautiful thing is, and you know, thank you for such an insightful question, is most likely I'll never see it, and that's okay. But I love the analogy that my grandfather said, like a drop of water hitting the ocean. You know, it just ripples out in all directions, and it ripples out forever. And so I may never know what that drop looks like and that ripple looks like a week from now, you know, a month from now, you know, a year from now. But I know that ripple is out there, and it's affecting people I'll never see, you know. So when I help one person and they heal and they go on to live a healthier, better emotional, spiritual life, then the people around them, they heal also. And it's just that beautiful ripple effect. So, like, if I help one person and that person goes back to a family of four, and then that family of four gets healed, and then, you know, they start a family, and then it sets in motion such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful healing that, you know, I'll never see. But it's you know, sometimes I do see it. Sometimes I have a breakthrough right there, you know. I've seen it, and it's beautiful. You know, their lives have never been the same, you know. And, again, I can't take any credit for that. It's just all, you know, divinely inspired. And I'm just an instrument of creator, an instrument of that love that just flows through. So, but great question. Thank you.
What about, like, with physical healings and rituals? If somebody's really sick with, like, a known disease or, you know, a serious illness, are there certain Native American medicines that can actually cure those things without having to go to see a modern-day physician?
Absolutely. You know, that's not really what my elder does. You know, I think everything begins in the spiritual. And it really manifests itself in the physical. So when we take care of the spiritual, some sort of spiritual trauma, and, you know, it presents. So like anger represents, you know, from my experience and my knowledge, and you know, I could be completely wrong. But energetically and spiritually, it says it is somewhere in the body, and it looks like the kidneys. So when a person comes to me and you know, they're really angry or have some deep disturbances, you know, we try to find out at their time, at their pace. We don't push anybody. You know, we don't push anybody. You know, modern medicine wants to know what's wrong with you. My question is, what happened to you? You know, and we get, you know, we get down to that story. You know, we don't, you know, one of the lost medicines that my father, before he passed, gave to me was this. He says, you have to get the people to learn how to listen. We don't listen anymore. We're in a fast food kind of listening mode. We're in a mode where we want to, a listening to respond is not listening. That's not listening, because you're already responding. You won't know how to respond if you don't listen. And so I think that's one of the problems with modern day society is that we're so quick. We want to be so quick. We want to, you know, now is not fast enough, you know, and we just have to take time. And you know, listening is the original form of communication. And we have forgotten that. We have forgotten that ceremony. We've forgotten how to just listen to the individual sitting next to us. You know, we have so many distractions now. We have the phones. We have this. We have that. We have cars. We have jobs. We have to be here. We have to go there. We have to do this. We have to do this. And you know, oh, by the way, maybe I'll have time to talk to you or listen to you at like the end of the day, you know. But I think the root of our problem is really spending that time and having one heart listen to the other. Because when we listen to each other, that tells us that we matter, that you matter. When I listen to you, that tells your spirit that okay, you matter. And there's so many times that we go throughout the day that we just, people, you know, we just feel like our opinions don't matter, we don't matter, our love doesn't matter. The more time we do this, more time we go there. And at the end of the day, what it looks like is some sort of physical illness, you know, and just, you know, deep-seated, you know, and we just have to get back to you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, modern medicine can't help. You know, I'm not trying to suggest that at all. I'm just saying that at the point of before that pre-existing condition, that we can, you know, we can head that off by communicating well and sitting in community. We don't have community anymore. You know, we just don't. We might have time to sit with our family once in a while, but that's not enough. Our indigenous ancestors did that every night. They sat there every night together. The whole tribe, the whole family, the whole community, the whole village got together, and they aired out everything they needed to air out.
Yeah. I can see how everybody's getting sick nowadays. I mean, I work in a hospital. I see it. We're so distracted, like you said, with all these electronics and all this drama and politics and nonsense, that I can see how that could affect our spiritual and mental, well, certainly mental well-being, because we get caught up with greed and ego and yeah, and it's hard not to, because we're constantly bombarded with it. And our Western culture is about, you know, working 40 hours a week and just dealing with people. And you see a rash of mental illness. Half of everybody out there is on antidepressants, you know. We're really in an unfortunate state right now, for sure.
Right, you know, and let me, you know, hold on, let me read a couple of things here. You know, go into my book. It's called Daily Medicine. You know, and here are the suggested instructions. And this is, okay, just let me read. Suggested instructions. This book, Daily Medicine, is a spiritual prayer book meant to be read, then prayed with each individual guided meditation. Each meditation is directly from spirit and is designed to enhance your personal understanding of the spirit. With each quote, the suggestion is to sit with, not just gloss over. Let me read that again. with each quote, the suggestion is to sit with, not just gloss over, the words quickly as a rote routine. As our understanding of the spirit grows, so will our understanding of the quotes, which is basically a message from spirit. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically it says, slow down. That's what spirit was telling me. And this is all, you know, everything that I do is guided by spirit. And spirit's just telling me, through me, to tell you just to slow down. Hey, listen, this is, you know, my meditations, whatever it is, it just happens to be my meditation. But we go through life like we're going through a fast food drive-thru. You know, we really do. And basically, I think spirit's just telling us, hey, listen, just slow down. Sit with me. Listen to me. You know, listen to that divine order. Listen to that divine spirit. Listen to that divine love, you know. Just take a minute. You know, put your feet in the sand. Walk through the park. Touch a tree. Sit down. Touch Mother Earth. You know, we've forgotten all these things. And, you know, you want to talk about medicine. Well, you know, we got a whole earth full of medicine that's completely being ignored, you know. No.
I heard a thing, or I read a thing at some point years ago about how there's like science behind just walking barefoot in the grass and how that is healthy for you, being connected or hugging a tree, experiencing nature. And we've moved so far away from that. I mean, I'm guilty. I play virtual reality. You know, I'm on the computer all the time, but it's important to remember, I think, especially for health benefits, to get out there and, you know, get outside, experience.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. You know, the earth itself is medicine. You know, like white people now, like the Western culture, like to call it grounding, and they think it's like groundbreaking. They think they've like just discovered like the earth, you know. Oh my God, the earth is here. Like oh my God, it has like, you know, all these medicinal qualities here. Let's call it grounding. Well, you know what, our indigenous grandfathers and ancestors have said, take off your feet, put them in the ground. Go talk to a tree. Go hug a tree. Trees are living, breathing organisms. You know, they talk to each other. They're communities. It's not just one tree out there. They're talking to each other all the time. They're just there. And you know, for someone directly from the Western culture to hear that sounds absolutely nuts. Oh my God, how do you talk to a tree? Well, you know, they have feelings. They have emotions. They have spirit. Everything that lives, we know, has spirit. And if it has spirit, it has medicine. And if it has medicine, it has a voice. And if it has a voice, you know, not all voices speak. You know, not all languages are spoken. But, you know, we as indigenous, we know that there's certain places that you know, we have to go spiritually to be able to listen to these. You know, just sit, just meditate, just, you know, sit with, enjoy. Build that communication with Mother Earth. Build that communication with the trees. There's so much medicine within a tree itself. One tree. Grounding. What does, you know, when a seed grows, guess where it grows first? It grows down first. It grows down first. Why? Because it knows it has to be grounded, you know? How about that little tidbit? About that.
Hey, that's a good one. But unfortunately, we live in a society now, if you start going around hugging trees, somebody's going to call the police.
That's, you know, that's unfortunate. But, you know, hug anyway. Yeah. Hug anyway.
Hug anyway.
Absolutely, hug anyway. Hug anyway. Listen to them. Understand it. Listen to it. And every tree has a separate voice. You know, every tree, every grove of trees is a community. Every tree, every leaf.
Sherry, when was the last time you hugged a tree?
What's that?
When was the last time you hugged a tree? I don't know that
yesterday.
I've ever hugged a tree.
It was yesterday. I have a lot of cedar on my property. There are a lot of cedar and firs and a lot of those kind of things. Yes. Sequoias. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's
beautiful.
got a lot of activity, as Wayne knows, got a lot of activity in my special place. And one of these days he'll be able to come out and experience it himself. So, but no,
oh,
I hope
absolutely.
To see you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question. What do you think, and this is just what's your take on this, when in the metaphysical world now, you know, let alone in the, you know, in Tai Chi or yoga, we go to these classes now to be certified. What's your take on certification on being a medicine woman or being a medicine man or being
a
shaman?
Oh, my God.
I mean,
oh, my God. I think that's, you know, well, first of all, I think it's dangerous, you know. First of all, you know, I think the Western world has got their idea that, you know, you need, you know, letters behind your name. You need, a certificate or degree on the wall to make you some sort of healer. And that's just that flies in the face of what we as indigenous do. You know, I've been doing this for close to 30 years. And you know, I would never go, it's all right. Let me back up. Let's. The Western world is based on greed and ego and prominence, and part of that prominence is saying I'm Dr. So-and-so, or I'm attorney so-and-so. You know, that's not who you are. That's what you do. I think that's there's a confusion there. But, you know, also the confusion is that it takes years to develop these practices. It takes years to develop these skills and to hone these skills. And I think it's a really disservice to those that are really in a place of hurting, those that are really mean and in a place of healing, to go to somebody that took a weekend class in shamanism and to think that this person is now a shaman and somehow connected to, you know, the great divine source, the great feminine, whatever you want to call it, the great spirit, and to have this there's just not enough experience there in the weekends to even begin to even learn to hear, to listen, to know what to do and, you know, how to feel. And, you know, every person is different. Every person has different energies. Every person has a different story. Every person carries different traumas. Every person carries different amount of courage and willingness. And you know, you can't pick that up in a weekend. You just can't.
It's the same thing as people doing Reiki. When you're talking about that, everybody's a Reiki master. And, you know, you pay $100, $200, $300, $400 for each level, and like you said, I agree 100%. That's something that you, number one, can't buy, and number two, it takes time. It takes a year to 2 years, 3 years, 5 years to cultivate, and most people don't have the attention span, let alone being able to stick with it. Yeah, they use it as a hobby. Oh, once in a while, I'll pick up $100 for, you know, either a shamanic, you know, teaching, getting money from a shamanic journeying or something, or soul retrieval,
yeah,
or whatever. But, you know, these people, it's just a hobby to them. They don't take things seriously, and it's the sacredness. To me, it's very sacred, and when you're doing a ritual, that is not something is public display, let alone bragging about, oh, yeah, I'm a...
Yeah, you don't want
to... A medicine
woman,
or I'm a shamanic person, and you just... It's crazy. I've been through a shamanic journey and also a so-called soul retrieval, and I'm gonna honestly say it was. I'm not gonna say bad things, but it was not in. I was not at least. I didn't feel like it was really authentic, to be honest with you. So that's just my take.
Right, right. What we're looking for is really deep healing. That's what we're looking for, and we can't do it. You know, again, we have a pharmaceutical type mentality where it's just like, now it's not fast enough. So, So my mother was raped, and then she married somebody who beat her, and I witnessed that. And then that person that did those things to her, did those things to me. And then, you know, and then I became the protector. And then, And then I grew up, and then I started beating people up, and then, you know, I became a sexual predator, and, you know, let me go to one of these weekend retreats and, like, heal all that. And then out of that, and then Monday morning, all of a sudden, we're, you know, we're a healer because now we've got a certificate, you know. Those are the kind of people, you know, that are out there now that still, there's so many healers out there that I see that still have, that haven't worked through their stuff. And what's so dangerous about this is,
I never thought about that way.
That is what we haven't healed, we give. Let me say that again. What we haven't healed, we give. So if we haven't healed some of that darkness, guess what we pass on?
More
energetically
junk.
And spiritually, yes. And also, even those people that have healed, that are doing, you know, some sort of dirty spiritual stuff, like they're cheating on their wife, you know. That's, you know, like, that's a big thing in like this, these spiritual realms and these spiritual circles, you know. You know, we get these master healers and we get these young, naive, you know, beautiful women, and then all of a sudden there's something there, and then something happens, and then the wife finds out, and then the healer goes out and does all these healings. But, you know, but what we do in our physical world also represents how we are in our own spiritual circle inside, and you know, vice versa. So if, like, we're playing like we're like this incredible, like, healer, but yet we're, you know, let me say it, like, banging three or four women on the side, then that's the energy that we're giving to those we're trying to heal also, you know. So that's where we stand, you know. So we have to be really careful about who we go to. We have to know their, I mean, I would say go to their elders, go to their teachers, go sit with them. And then once you've done that, go to their teacher, sit with them. There has to be some sort of lineage there. There has to be some sort of family community that you can actually see the wisdom passing down through the generations, you know, and just to begin with, you know. And it's just, you know, you have to be real careful these days, you know. Especially with these plant medicine people, you know, plant medicine is really like the thing now. You know, it's kind of replacing
that. What's the plant medicine? I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, like ayahuasca and you know, all these stuff.
Oh,
and,
oh yeah, DMT.
Yeah,
okay,
like,
so what do they do? I mean, what are
all this stuff? It's just like, it's a spiritual bypass to say, you know what? I don't want to do like the internal dark work or talk about my traumas, but let me go take this plant medicine this weekend and then say, okay, well, I've done this and you know, I've healed. You know, plant medicines, you know, don't do that. They show you what you need to heal. You know, that's what they do at best. That's what they do, you know. That's what it is. Hey, this is what's wrong. This, and you know, they'll show you a glimpse, but they'll point the way. But you have to do the work. So these people that are doing ayahuasca three or four times a week are just as sick as just. I mean, they're some of the sickest people I've ever come across. So, and I love them all, but I'm like, you know, what are you guys doing, man? You haven't sat with the medicine. You haven't built that relationship. See, what we're talking about here is building relationships. We don't know how to do that. And brother, you asked a question a little while ago about, you know, about the sickness. This is where the sickness comes from. We don't know how to build relations. We don't know how to maintain them. You know, these healthy relationships. And with Mother Earth, the plants, the trees, you know, you say it's foreign to us. You're embarrassed to hug a tree. And for me, for a guy like me sitting there, that's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling. Why wouldn't you go build a relationship with a tree and, you know, Mother Earth? And you kind of laughed about it. And I'm like, God damn, that's so sad. You know, that's so sad. It's like this world, this Earth, this Mother Earth wants, is begging for a relationship with everyone on it. and just about everyone on it is ignoring Mother Earth and all her medicines and all the love and all the things that you know go along with it. We have a world of mass distractions, you know, mass distractions, man. And we just got to get down to the root and just say, man, we got to unplug and we got to take our shoes off and you know, we got to go for a walk. Like humanity has to go for a walk, you know. You know, feel Mother Earth again, not just as like a zoo, like we're going to the park or a zoo. Hey, here's a tree. Hey, let's take a selfie with a tree, you know, that kind of thing. You know, put the phones away. Put your hands on the tree. Say, you know what, thank you for giving me life because we have a relationship. Without trees, we wouldn't be here. They're the lungs of Mother Earth. They're the lungs. Without them, we don't breathe. Without them. So I think we owe it as humanity to go and thank every tree we see. Thank you for giving me breath. Thank you.
Isn't it crazy how the, you know, the colonial people are cutting trees? I mean, you look at it, I don't know if it's down your way in Florida, but in Oregon, there's a lot of, we call clear cutting. And they, you know, instead of just collectively pruning, they'll just chop the whole thing to bare nothings and stump and take the wildlife. I mean, the wildlife depends on a lot of their natural habitat.
You're taking a family member every time you do it. You're taking a family member. You're taking a valued member out of that community for profit. That's what you're doing. You're taking a piece of your own lung and chopping it down. So these, you know, these wood communities, what do they call them? The lumber community can have a good quarterly earnings report. That's what we're doing. We're cutting our own lungs out from on us so they can have a good quarterly report. So how's that taste? How's that feel?
There has to be a balance, though. But, there? I mean,
How's that feel?
I mean,
yeah, well, you just sat there for a minute. It got quiet. You know, that tells me a whole lot. You know, that tells me a whole lot. You know, and that's just the beginning. You know, what are we doing to you know, different various species, you know, that will never come back? There's like two or 300 species on this planet that will never return again because we've killed them all off, you know. We've killed them all off this year. How does that feel? We haven't even built a relationship. We're killing them off. How does that feel? That's medicine for humanity, for us to live, thrive, and survive, and yet we slaughter them. How does that feel? You know, how does that feel? You know, we're trying to protect this place. We're trying to, you know, get as much and build that relationship. But yet, you know, a good quarterly report, you know, and, you know, kill guys like us that are trying to be on the front lines and trying to create and trying to, you know, get this message out there. You know, my book is about that. My book, Daily Medicine, is about building, maintaining, and that relationship with Mother Earth, with spirit, with everything, you know, because we've forgotten to it. And people can't spend 2 minutes reading my book and just meditating and focusing and just sitting here and just saying, okay, let's move in a different direction. Let's take our feet off once in a while. Let's drive by that park. Let's say hello to that tree, that bee, that everything. You know, we're too busy going here, we're going there, we're going to Starbucks, and, you know, whatever, going to Sunoco, going to, you know, wherever, to you know.
What do you think of that? Jason?
Well, I agree. We are distracted. I am the poster child of somebody that's distracted. But unfortunately, that's what society pushes upon us. And I don't know if that can ever change. Eventually, the resources are going to be gone. And then what? And then we're all dead.
We won't be able to breathe. That's what's going to happen. But here's, you know, but brother, here's the upside. This is not all bad. You know, here's the upside. There's guys like me, and there's guys like my own, and there's guys, you know, there's people out there just, you know, wanting to guide people, you know, that don't have, you know, that don't go to weekend retreats, you know, that don't have letters in the back of their names, but that are really serious about helping humanity, you know. And I don't charge anything for what I do, you know. I don't charge anything for what I do. But it just, you know, it just begins with you. You know, it really begins with you, man. Just go. You don't have to tell us. You don't have to tell us, Jason. Just go hug a tree, man. It can be confidential between, you know, just the three of us here, you know. You know,
yeah.
You know, you, like, you alone can go, you know, quietly off. You don't have to tell nobody. You don't have to advertise it. Don't take a selfie. Don't, you know, don't leave the phone in the car. Take your shoes off. Go thank a tree. That's what you can do. You know, that's what you can do. That's how we start. We start one breath at a time, one tree at a time. You know, that's how we do it. You know, you know.
Add that to that, Wayne. It's just not just the tree, but just the whole environment. I mean, when I go back there and really connect with, you know, the natives out there and everything, I connect not only with the trees, but I connect with the land. I connect with the ancients that are living there. I connect with the rocks.
Right,
I connect with the thing that's out there.
Oh, absolutely. You can begin wherever you want to begin, but you got to begin.
Yes.
You got to begin somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh.
You know.
That's true.
You know,
that's
we.
Really,
you know, we as Indigenous, we go to ceremony. You know why we go to ceremony? Anybody?
No.
We go to ceremony to celebrate life.
To celebrate
that's
life.
That's the only the only reason why we go to ceremony. That's it. You know, and we don't go to celebrate, you know, my life, you know, just my life, because it'd be really short ceremony. But, you know, we go to celebrate all life. We're talking, you know, you, me, the winged people, the four-leggeds, the fish people, the standing people, the trees, the insect nation, the slithery nations, the fire nation, the mother earth nation, you know, and then, you know, the water nation, you know, grandmother water, the moons, the suns, the stars, everything, you know, because everything is important. And that's what I bring to the table.
So,
and if you take,
you know, it's interesting. This is, and I can share this publicly. This is the first time. I mean, I feel like this is really my first Thanksgiving that I didn't feel like I had to be part of it. I feel Thanksgiving should be every day. It's the simple things in life. It's not just one day where you have turkey and, you know, get together with your loved ones and things like that. I think it's, I'm finding that the Thanksgiving and how we're led to believe is not really the true Thanksgiving. And you look at the history, what the commercialized way of thinking what Thanksgiving is so different than what Thanksgiving really is all about. What do you say, Wayne?
Gluttony.
Well,
that's gluttony.
What's that? Well, you know, there's a real, you know, bloody history behind, you know, the real Thanksgiving. You know, the real Thanksgiving was, you know, part of a land grab. The pilgrims came, they slaughtered the village next door, they came back, and they had a feast. That was the first Thanksgiving, you know. That was it.
Wow.
Well, wait.
Yeah.
Wayne
so,
and Sherry,
so,
I got to bow out here. So I'm
okay.
I want to thank you for coming on. And Sherry, it's all you.
Jason,
yeah, thank
how
you.
About it?
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Jason,
nice to
how
meet
about
you.
If you
great
can hang on a little bit? I'm getting my phone is my landline is getting out of tune. So how about if I call you from the cell so I can continue the conversation?
Yeah, come on, I'll wait.
Okay, so hold on. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry, my landline is beeping and means that it's we're gonna run out of batteries really quick. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm gonna be pulling out and I'll call back in.
Okay.
So does that mean I stay here, or what's that mean?
Yeah. Stay here.
Okay. All right. I'll just hang out. So.
Yeah. She should be calling right back. Well, you know, there is a tree in my backyard. I think I should probably hug it.
I love you, brother. That's the way we start, man. That's it. I got another one on the hook. I got another one on the hook, man. That's good, brother. You know, confidentiality just between you and me. Nobody has to know, you know, plus our audience. So, you know, I don't know how big the audience is, but, you know.
you got me thinking about it. But this is as bad as I am. I did go out in nature the other day, walked up this mountain, but, of course, I took a remote control car with me.
Okay.
I took a boy toy with me. So, yeah, it's really hard.
Okay, good. All right.
I'm going to bow out,
okay,
Wayne.
Jason.
It's been fantastic.
Okay, Jason.
Great information.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Sorry about that. I had the landline on, and I can hear the beeping, and my dog's freaking out because of the high-pitched sound. So that's why I'm calling from my cell phone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
So I can continue on the conversation, but I don't remember what you guys were talking
about. No, I was in the middle of horrifying Jason, so. horrifying you guys, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I like a white guy. Not that that's bad or anything. No, I'm just, you know. What do you mean, hug a tree? What do you mean, like, build a relationship with Mother Earth? What do you mean? Like, I'm like, well, yeah. So, you know, but that's where we got to start, you know. No.
So, yeah, I didn't know anything too much about the history of Thanksgiving, you know, what the real history is. So, it's not really what people think, right?
No, it's pretty ugly. So it's
pretty brutal.
You know, it's pretty brutal. You know, and it never looks good or you know works out for any kind of indigenous tribe. You know, it never does. You know, we always get slaughtered or beat up or raped or you know put in prison or killed or shot or raped or you know whatever in the end. So you know that's pretty much what happens to all of us in the end. So.
It's like the Hawaiians,
you know,
the Hawaiians had a bad, you know, pretty terrible history too, you know.
Well, you know, and this is not just, you know, thanks for bringing that up. It's indigenous all over the world, you know, especially with any kind of, you know, any kind of resource that, you know, the Western world finds on indigenous land, it never works out well for the indigenous, you know. You know, we die in great numbers and in horrible ways. You know, that's the deal. So.
Wow.
So we,
just curious, what is your take on medicine bags and carrying things? Can anybody have? I mean, is there something in your tradition where you guys carry medicine pouches, or can a person like me or anybody can carry something sacred? And what's involved? I'm curious about a medicine bag.
Well, you know, simply a medicine bag carries medicine. So, you don't need to be read to carry on indigenous ways. You know, I mean, it would be better if you had an elder or a community of elders guide you to know how to do this, you know, just so you don't want to culturally appropriate in any way. You want to be very respectful about it, you know. I would say find an owner and see what's going on and see if you can do it. And the second you put that out there, the elder's already on his way. So your job is to keep focused and seeing eyes open and seeing what's out there. But you know, definitely get in touch with an elder and you know, find a just do it in a good way. You know, be a good human being. You know, do it in a good way. Don't culturally appropriate or you know. Dress up as, you know, Pocahontas on Halloween, that kind of stuff. You know, just kind of do it in a good way. And when you do find that elder, you know, generally, you know, I carry a medicine bag and it has my sacreds in it, you know, sacreds that are medicine to me. And my teachings go, it kind of hangs low near the heart. So the heart can have that medicine, and the medicine can be close to that heart. So.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah.
But as they say, as the student is ready, the teacher will appear, you know, and that is so true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, but you know,
really
people have to be ready for change, you know. You know, they got to want to heal, and they have to listen. You know, we're going back to listening again. People, you know, they want it now. They do now. They Google it. They Google stuff instead of listening. Let me listen to my heart. Let me focus. Let me put that energy out there, that vibration, that love that says, hey, this is what I'm going through, and this is what I need, you know. Instead, what they do is they Google it. They find the first thing on Google. They said, okay, here's a shaman online, and looks like they charge $1,500 a weekend. And, you know, that's okay because that's within my budget. And let me go and let me not do any serious work, but let them do all the work for me so I can be healed. And then by Monday, you know, I'll be right as rain. So.
Yeah, or they'll say, well, you need sessions for you to heal, you know, like a soul retrieval, if they're supposed to be going and capturing the soul loss or whatever. Oh, you need two more sessions. I think one session's not going to do it. And you're talking about maybe $200, $300 a session, you know?
Well, you know, that's just, you know, greed is very popular. So, you know, that's a very popular, you know, medicine, you know, greed, you know, right.
And it's just kind of it loses its meaning to what the sacredness and how it really is supposed to mean. You know, it really is. I've been to metaphysical places, fairs, or places, things like that, where they are next to me, and I'm reading, you know, in Chinese medicine. And they have a massage table next to me, and a gal's going and putting her rattles over this human body and drumming and rattling, and supposedly in front of people that are walking around in public display doing a soul retrieval. It's crazy.
I don't know. There's my business, and then there's none of my business, you know, and there's a lot of things that I just don't want to have an opinion on, you know, and you know, when people start doing that stuff, that's, you know, that's one of those things that I'd really rather not have an opinion on, you know, and cause, you know, maybe they know what they're doing. Maybe they know, maybe this is, I just haven't sat with them. I haven't, you know, listened to them. I haven't listened to their stories. I haven't listened to their elders. I haven't listened to their medicine. I haven't done any of that. So, you know, until I do that, I really shouldn't have any opinion, you know, just, you know.
Exactly.
You know, it just, we have to do things out of love. And, you know, if you do that, that's good, you know, that's good. No, but if you don't do things out of love, then, you know, I don't know. I'd rather not have an opinion. But, you know,
exactly.
It's just, so, you know, I just love those people until, you know, they come to a place where they really want some authentic healing. And then they truly look, and this is, you know. Oh.
Yeah, healing's a process. I feel that way. Healing is really a process.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely it is. Absolutely, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes time and effort. You know, a price has to be paid, you know. And people just don't want to, you know. People don't want to pay that price, you know. They want to, you know, they want the pill. They want this. They want that. They want, you know. They want anything that to do the work themselves, you know. You know. So.
Sometimes and sometimes they want, you know, they can have the work, but they just need a little bit of guidance. That, you know, that's another thing. Sometimes they're willing to do that, but they just need to have a little bit of guidance to get there.
absolutely. You know, and they have to, you know, that takes time and patience, and people don't have time or patience, you know. You know, once you set that prayer in motion, once you set that intention in motion, sometimes it doesn't happen right away, you know. Sometimes it just doesn't happen right away. So.
Wow.
So, you know, and we just.
Do you ever feel that way? Some people are not meant to heal?
I think there's a place of healing for everybody. I really do.
Okay.
There's an opportunity and, you know, healing, you know, available. Absolutely. You know, for everybody. So
let's talk about really quickly about your book. So your meditations, like you said, they're supposed to be sat with. They're supposed to be something that you don't just read through, but you actually meditate and you work through it. That's the healing part, to help people realize that it applies to everybody who can read it.
Absolutely. You know, these are all guided, you know, from the spirit, you know, from the spirit. And you know, their intent is to bring the reader closer to their understanding of it, of you
mm-hmm.
know, the spirit. So, you know, and it's, you know, as an author, I mean, it's been a really incredible journey to sit, to meditate, to listen, to write, to feel, to rewrite, to edit, and to really feel like real listening to what spirit really wants to say. Because, you know, because I got my stuff too. You know, I'm far from perfect. You know, I'm far from perfect. You know. And, you know, I got my own darkness and you know, and I'm still in the process of, you know, healing and peeling back the proverbial onion, you know, when that comes up again. And so sometimes when, you know, the meditations come through, it's kind of gets filtered through my stuff and not always exactly the way spirit really intended it to be. So that means as a writer, as an author, then I get the opportunity to just sit with it. You know, if I don't understand it, then I just sit with it, you know, and then I ask for clarity, and then I ask for courage, and then I ask for willingness, and I ask for all of these things with each meditation, you know. And so it's really been a really beautiful process to bringing me closer to what I understand, spirit and creator and the great divine, the great source, whatever you want to call it, you know.
Do you find that you can meditate every day, or sometimes there are days you can't meditate?
Well, you know, my prayer goes, you know, I'm available. You know, let's start there. And then I start out my day every day with meditations. Absolutely. My thing is to connect as soon as possible when I wake up. That's the very first thing I do. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning and I sit, you know, I do a little ritual, I smudge, and then I pray, and then I connect, and then that's how I start my day. If I don't do that, then I really don't know how that day's going to end up, but it's probably not going to be good, you know. You know, it's just either emotionally bad or just mentally bad, or it just doesn't turn out well. But when I start out, you know, hey Creator, this is me. Thank you for another day. Thank you for allowing me to breathe. Thank you for, you know, everything, you know, little that I have. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the coffee. Yeah, you know, these aren't just things I say, these are things I feel. You know, we live in a feeling universe and we've forgotten how to feel and we've forgotten how to listen. So these are the things that I focus on. I listen, thank you for, you know, even having enough money in my bank account. You know, just say, hey, good. You know, it's necessary to have money. So while I have it, I want to be grateful for it, you know. So.
You definitely, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how long you meditate. It's just that time that you connect with spirit and being able to acknowledge all the good things and hopefully things will, you know, will be good, you know, smooth going.
Yeah, you know, and you know, not everything's smooth all the time. It's just not. But, you know, I ask for the strength and courage to help me through that. You know, that's the real thing. Anybody can be spiritual on a sunny day. Anybody. But, you know, when the ill winds turn, you know, that's the time where our spirituality really meets the road, you know. You know, when those bad things happen, when the people walk away, when people pass away, when people walk out of our lives, when people, you know, do things we don't want them to do, when they harm themselves, suicide, drugs, alcohol, you know, those are, you know, some of the things that we have to be really grounded for when we do this spiritual walk, you know. It just, you know, we need to be plugged in. We need to be connected. We need to have, you know, direct connection to the source, the strength. You know, because you know, I'm human. I don't always have it. You know, I'm very, very clear about that. In every ceremony that I do, it's I'm human, man, and I get that. And to build that relationship with my humanness, you know, just let me be a better human today. You know, let me be kinder today. Let me be a little better than I did yesterday. You know, that's what it's like to be spiritual.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You got me pumped. I've got a lot to go.
You know,
oh,
that's
boy,
okay.
You know.
I mean, I can come on next week, too, if you want.
But anyway, I want to cut it a little bit short. I'd rather have you come back frequently than drag it on and on and on. And you know me, I'm one of these
okay.
kind of people that I like the point. But I know I didn't realize, and I'm going to say this, I did not realize that you get up so early in the morning. I thought, oh, yeah, you probably get up about 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know. But 4:30 So I'm going to cut you off, and we're going to cut that off so we can have you back. There's so much to talk about and everything else, but we can go on further. But, no, thank you so much, Wayne. Now, you are calling all the way 3 hours ahead. So, you know, we changed our time. I don't know how long because I was on tour at the time, but we changed our time from 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. From 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time to 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. But even though you're getting up at 4 in the morning, not very much sleep, so we're going to cut this out and cut it short, but thank you so much for sharing your time and your soul with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
I appreciate it. Yes. Anytime, and yes, we're going to have you back. If we can have you back one of these times, and we can talk about something else. There's always something to share, and definitely I will connect my way of connecting with spirit and working on it. And thank you. Thank you, Wayne, for your friendship. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, okay, everybody. Thank you for listening on Paranormal Horizons. And next week, I'm not sure who we have next week to be right on the cuff. I think we're going to have Eric Mitchell. He is a UFO abductee. I believe Eric Mitchell is coming back on, but I'm not quite sure. But, everybody, have a happy holiday. Be kind to each other and just love each other, not just on Christmas or the holidays, but just on a daily practice and being mindful of being thoughtful and being kind. But I want to thank everybody for listening to Paranormal Horizons every Sunday with Jason and I. And when I'm on tour, Maria Wilson Duff is filling in. So all three of us want to thank you for not only your support, but just following us on Facebook. And if anybody wants a reading, I'm pulling a special out, Psychic Medium Sherry. Check me out on Facebook. It is Psychic Medium, and it's Sherry, Cheri. So I'm pulling a couple Black Fridays. It's going to end tomorrow. So anybody would like a reading, they're reduced. And, check me out, follow me, and... any suggestions on Paranormal Horizons, go ahead and give us a quick shout, and we'd be happy to work around that and see who we can, you know, who can come up with. So, but again, thank you very much, and we will talk to you next Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hey, take care, everybody. Peace.